From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Coming up next on Forum this morning, young voters turned out in huge numbers 4 years ago, helping to propel Barack Obama to victory. But this year, polls show that America's youth are less motivated and less enthusiastic. What local, state, and national issues matter most to young voters in this election? For the past several months, KQED has been talking to college students at Bay Area campuses, and in the Forum Hour ahead, we'll hear their voices and talk to a number of experts about the youth vote and its significance in the 2012 election. Forum is next. Join us after this. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Michael Krasny. Good morning and welcome to this hour of the Forum program. There are an estimated 46 million voters between the ages of 18 and 29, and though the numbers of young people who turned out to vote in 2008 for President Barack Obama was high, research from Pew and other pollsters show that young voters are less engaged in this upcoming election and far behind older voters in not only their interest in the campaigns, but their intention to vote. In this Forum Hour, we want to turn our attention to the youth vote in the 2012 election, and let's hear from some of those voices.
I'm probably going to vote for Obama. I mean, I know he's getting a lot of criticism right now, but I feel like he stepped in already at a pretty difficult time. I think any president who stepped in when he did would be criticized because there's no way you can heal everything so quickly.
I'm voting for Romney because I guess it's going to affect my dad a lot in business, and I kind of care more to support my parents than my own because it doesn't affect me as much because I'm still in college and like it's just not affecting me that much.
I have my absentee ballot at home on my dresser, so I haven't decided if I'm going to vote or not. I just don't know yet. I don't feel like I have enough time to really look into the election and, you know, focus on either candidate, so I don't really feel like I've educated myself enough to make a legitimate decision.
Well, KQED has been talking to college students at Bay Area campuses, and those were some of them. Actually, voices of Sean Tang from UC Berkeley, Cameron Hurley from Ohlone College in Fremont, and Tyler Carter from Sonoma State University. And we're going to talk about the youth vote in this hour and talk about what can be expected and how important it is. Jason Johnson is with us by phone. He's professor of political science and communications at Hiram College in Ohio. And Jason Johnson, good to have you with us.
Thank you so much. Glad to be here.
This is also, I should let you know, old stomping grounds for me. I went to Camp High, and I used to see the Browns train in Hiram, Ohio. It's good to
have you. Wow. Yeah, I have heard about those mysterious old days. It was a much better Browns team then.
Yeah, well, that goes without saying. They moved that franchise to Baltimore, as I'm sure you well know. Lisa Garcia-Bedola is also with us this hour, and she's Associate Professor of Education at UC Berkeley, author of such books as Latino Politics and Mobilizing Inclusion, Transforming the Electorate Through Get Out the Vote Campaigns. And good to have you with us, Professor Garcia-Bedola.
Thank you for having me.
Also with us this morning here in studio, Sam Patton, who is Online Systems Director for the League of Young Voters. They focus on encouraging non-college, low-income, and minority youth to vote. Welcome, Sam Patton.
Thanks. Glad to be here.
So glad to have you all aboard. And Jason Johnson, I'm going to begin with you. And I want to get a picture from you of really what matters to young people, those who are voting or maybe even those who are considering, am I going to go out there and vote if they're on the cusp, seem to be largely social issues in the economy or jobs and student loans. But it often depends from your research on, well, just how much the economy is affecting them. Huh?
Yeah, exactly. There's a huge difference. If you look at a critical slice of life between 18 and, say, 23 years old, there's a huge difference if you are a full-time college student who graduated from high school and, you know, you're doing your 3 to 5 years, a part-time student who may be living at home and going to campus and working, or someone who just went directly into the workforce at 18 years old and, you know, is maybe in the military or something else like that. So how much the economy has affected you and how long you've been at the economy has a lot to do with whether or not you are going to support Barack Obama, whether or not you're going to support Mitt Romney, or whether or not you're going to vote. And that's one of the main things that we found in our Hiram College poll.
What did you find out about how much students replicate what their parents do?
Well, a lot of that has to do with their level of comfort. And I think, you know, some of the voices that you played at the beginning really demonstrated that. The young woman's like, well, I'm in college. I'm going to vote how mommy and daddy want me to vote. And, you know, the the degree to which students are separated from their parents has a lot to do with how they vote. Most people are still going to vote the way they were raised. If you're raised Republican, you're going to vote Republican even when you're in college. We college professors are not that influential, regardless of what the right wants to say. But at the same time, if there ever is going to be a point where you make a break from your upbringing, it's going to be in college, whether that's to the right or whether that's to the left. So our research showed that while most students still said, look, I voted the way my parents did, if they do shift, it's full-time college students who make that decision.
You also did some what I find fascinating research about how students are affected from the ground as opposed to the air, that is, young voters particularly. And it seems like there's a lot more hitting them from the air, and by the air I mean the airwaves, radio and television, from Romney than, let's say, more on the ground from Obama. How does this turn out in terms of the impact on young voters?
Well, you know, we don't know yet because it has a lot to do with what our turnout situation turns out to be, you know, in America, you know, next week. So, for example, you know, historically, if you look at an air war versus a ground war, usually an air war is not going to win unless you count Libya. You know, just bombarding people on television is not necessarily as effective with young people because, one, they don't watch as much television. And what they do watch is online. It's on Netflix. It's on YouTube. And so television advertising in and of itself, radio advertising, is not as effective in hitting young people. Getting them online matters. And that's an area that, you know, straight television, Mitt Romney has a clear advantage, him and his super PACs. Online and on the ground, Barack Obama has an advantage. So we'll see next week which one is more successful in, one, convincing young people to vote for them, and, two, getting them to the polls.
There's also research that shows that first-time voters, and we don't know yet what the turnout is going to be for young voters, but as we get closer to the election, it may increase. But first-time voters are not particularly moved by Romney, but there's a lot less enthusiasm for Obama, and young voters are who support Romney, according to Harvard Institute of Politics poll, are more likely to show up at the polls.
Yeah, that's usually the case. I mean, Republicans turn out much better than Democrats. They always have. And Republicans can win elections at the state level and the national level by simply turning out their base. Democrats, in order to be successful, this is something I write about in my book, One Day to Sell, when Democrats are campaigning, they have to go for central and swing voters in addition to their base because their base is not necessarily that reliable. So it's not surprising to me that young people who claim they're going to vote for Romney are much more likely to do so because Republicans are more consistent voters.
And again, Jason Johnson is professor of political science and communications at Hiram College in Ohio. They did a good deal of research on young voters. And Lisa Garcia Bedoya is associate professor of education at UC Berkeley, author of such books as Latino Politics and Mobilizing Inclusion. And Professor Bedoya, I guess it's not so surprising. Young people are, from your research, more apt to get involved when there's something they care about.
Yes, and also when someone talks to them about something that they care about. But I wanted to build on Professor Johnson's point about disaggregating youth, and I also disaggregating by race and not just college experience and also socioeconomic status. So speaking to the last question about why it is that Republican youth turn out at higher rates, it is because Republicans turn out more in general and also because white youth are more Republican and also generally wealthier, and they turn out at higher rates than at least Latinos and Asians. And so it's important to really think about which youth we're talking about when we talk about youth, and then also that when, at least in our research, when organizations could go to youth and really talk to them about why their vote is really part of a sort of worldview about the role that they can play in politics and why it's important for them to be involved. In fact, they were able to turn out and willing to turn out.
So this is true across the board. I mean, whether we're talking about Latino youth or African-American youth, if they're contacted personally or door-to-door or if they're given a reason to vote person-to-person, it makes quite a bit of difference.
Yes. For all the research that has been done experimentally and observationally suggests that, yes.
And what do you find out particularly about, because the Hispanic vote is so important in this election, about younger Latinos and those who are native-born as opposed to those who are not?
So those who are native-born are especially in need of having somebody knock on their door or call them in person. What we found in our research, and this was across 6 electoral cycles in California, with low-propensity voters, either new voters, youth voters, and other low-propensity voters, was that immigrant Latinos tend to be mobilized by the larger context in the current environment. They actually turn out at a higher rate than the native-born, and that's been true since the 1990s. whereas native-born Latinos actually are more responsive and need that in-person contact to make them feel comfortable with the system and make them feel like it's worth their time and that they have the ability to turn out and make a decision about politics.
Well, we said that we had a lot of voices of young people that KQED News has gotten available for us. I just want to hear a couple more cuts here and have our listeners hear them.
I actually don't know who I would vote for because I come from a very conservative background, but it's obviously much more liberal here. And so I think that being liberal kind of has more of an ideology for like hope and social change, but then there's always conservative seems like more practical and easy to do. So it's kind of like deciding of whether I should completely abandon these ideologies, which would be perceived as weak, or go for something more practical, which would be considered conservative. So I don't know who I would vote for. I think I'd have to look more into their specific policies.
I talked to my friends, and most of them haven't even registered to vote because they think, like, oh, it doesn't matter as much. So I feel like, no, probably not. I mean, the last election, there was a big, huge thing. But now I feel like, yeah, I don't think people are as motivated because obviously Obama hasn't really upheld all his promises, and I feel like people are a little discouraged about that.
Well, we heard Stephanie Partey from Marin County. She goes to UC Berkeley, and Michelle Pye from Foster City, who also goes to UC Berkeley, and they were interviewed by KQED as part of KQED's Voice of Young Voters project. And let me go back to you, if I may, Professor Garcia Bedoya. I mean, it's not so much from that last clip particularly that students are apathetic. It's just that they're not being reached.
There's very little information for them. So even if they're interested, it's really difficult to know where to go. And interestingly, at least in my first book, I talked to, it's called Fluid Borders, I talked to Latino youth. And the interesting thing was that they, in fact, thought voting was really important. So you have this vision of them as apathetic, but in fact, because they thought voting was so important, they felt like they shouldn't vote if they didn't know for certain that they could make the right decision. And so I think that first quote really speaks to, and this is what Professor Johnson was referencing, the college is a period of time when, or the early 20s are a period of time when you're trying to figure out kind of who you are, what you think, separating yourself from your parents, but really honoring your upbringing. And so in that mix, if you don't get good political information and you don't have anyone really talking to you about how to engage in the system, the cognitive cost, right, of voting seems very high. It seems very difficult to know that you're making the right decision. And so in that sense, it's easier to sit out and leave it to someone else rather than make a mistake.
Well, I think you and Professor Johnson may be pleased to hear this next clip. This is Maria Gass from Maryville, California. She was interviewed by KQED at Sonoma State. And, well, she talks about what motivated her.
Haven't followed the government at all. I actually tended to avoid it until my political science class this semester. It made me want to vote. I wasn't going to vote before that class.
Well, let's bring Sam Patton into this. He's online systems director of the League of Young Voters. They focus on encouraging non-college, low-income, and minority youth to vote. A lot of difference when we're talking about those youth as opposed to all these college voices we're hearing, huh, Sam?
Well, I'd say there's actually a lot of similarities in terms of the challenges facing groups trying to get young people out to vote and young voters themselves. Some of the clips you played, I think, were dead on, that a lot of the League's constituents, being young people, people of color, people from low-income communities, haven't gotten the information that they feel they need in order to accurately vote. A statistic that just came out in a Circle poll on October 25th said that 75% of young people have not been contacted by a campaign or party. And I think we all take it for granted that the messaging on TV, the nonstop ads in swing states, is saturated everybody, and it's just not true for young people. And I think that's why we always turn to Circle of Influencers. Statistics say that a parent or adult mentor has the greatest chance of getting a young person who has not voted to actually participate. And so the League looks absolutely to 365-day-a-year community organizing, people self-organizing, and the importance of online networks, Facebook and Twitter, for young people to actually get information out to each other. That's what we're seeing happening. That's what's been happening with some of our biggest initiatives right now, such as our website, theballot.org, which allows anyone to preview their voter guide and then engage in discussion. I think young people see voting as social.
But the distinction I'm making here has to do with particularly, I guess, maybe the working class kids, when they college affordability, many of them don't go to college, so it doesn't across their screen as being as important as it does to young people who do go to college. And, you know, there are studies that are showing that a lot of working class youth particularly are up for grabs in states that really matter, Florida, Colorado, and Wisconsin. But yet you're saying pretty much across the lines, the same things matter to them, and they're influenced by the same things as, I mean, whether we're talking about class or whether we're talking about race.
Right. I mean, I think the millennial generation is the most diverse generation in American history, and young people expect options to become available to them as they graduate from high school. And so even though it's true that over 50% of millennials are not going to college, it's not because they don't – it's because they don't see college as an option. It's because I think the current economic crisis has caused many young people to feel that they don't have as many options available to them as their parents did, or they see their parents struggling. They feel themselves struggling. Unemployment for young people is much higher than for many other demographics. And so I think that it's not a question of strategy or feelings being different for college versus non-college youth. There is actually a large connection to a sense that the young people have to work together, that political policy has gotten us to this point of economic uncertainty. And even though many young people are not going to college, are engaging directly in the workforce, all young people, I think, share a general unease with the policies of the past.
Well, there's a study of at Tufts University Center for Information and Research on Civic Learning and Engagement, and they found, not so surprisingly, that the absence of opportunity and recruitment is key with the youth vote. I mean, in other words, they want something to motivate them to vote.
Right. I mean, every statistic says that more people vote when you say turnout is going to be high than when you say people aren't going to vote. We need you. You know, like clearly, I think you raised a point very early in this discussion, which I think is the place I always want to start, which is that young people are not apathetic. They're just extremely concerned. And when you're concerned about paying rent, when you've been unemployed for over a year and you haven't yet to find a job, then the political process can seem very abstract. And again, I think that statistic that 75% of young people have not even been contacted by a campaign speaks to the information gap.
Well, but a lot of the information comes from social networks for them, doesn't it?
True.
A lot of the influence and impact.
It does, yeah. And I mean, the number one thing, and like you said, my title is Systems and Communications Director. I've been doing Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest as long as anyone. And I would tell you absolutely that it's the combination of social networks, as the professor first said, it's not just the air game. It's a combination of social networks with 365 day a year organizing, self-organizing, intergenerational dialogue that helps people come together.
Yeah, right, dovetailing with what we're talking about, Sam, is a clip from this is a young voter, Kaleem Giles from Oakland. He goes to San Jose State University, and he's worried about getting a job and being able to pay for school.
I think the government should allow mostly us young kids to have jobs. That's the only thing I'm really worried about, is having a job. And in our current market, I really want to have a very intellectual like job. I don't want to just be behind McDonald's or janitorial work. I really want to work on my major. And it's just that I'm going broke ever so slightly. Like, I only have that much money, and I hope that government gives me at least a little bit of break. If they give me that break, then I'll be able to actually invest it and also be able to live in my apartment and to be able to actually move forward with my life.
Well, Sam, what do you think about that? I mean, if government give me a break, the government will do something for me, help me, then maybe I'm on a track that I want to be on?
I mean, I'm a strong supporter of it. I think government exists in order to enable the people to realize the pursuit of life, liberty, and happiness.
But you think a lot of young people really feel that way, that that's – as opposed to being libertarian.
Right.
And
no.
Saying, like Mitt Romney is saying, we'll help you.
Statistics say millennials don't have generally the same distrust of government. We understand people have to work together. We see the government as a force for positive change.
Well, we asked young people to tell us what their priorities are this election. Here are a few responses, and you can tweet yours to us. Actually, our Twitter handle is at KQED Forum. Zara tweets, student loans, how will you help? Drones, will they stay away from my grandma? Healthcare, make it cheaper. Eva writes on our Facebook page, and our Facebook page is also available to you here. Women's issues, rights, equality, healthcare, rebuilding our economy, investing in education for future generations. That's why I'm voting for Obama. Natalia tweets, affordable housing and job creation for sure, social change. And Peter writes, it's rather unbelievable that this election, and particularly the Romney voters, are economically talking about the impact on millionaires and billionaires and not focusing on how the disappearing middle class and lower class, including students and returning vets, are going to be very much hurt by a Romney victory. Actually, I think Governor Romney may have set a record for mentioning the middle class in that first debate. Nora from Oakland writes, I was surprised to hear a young woman say that the election affected her parents more than it did her. There are so many issues important to her future, both direct and indirect, including social issues, student loans, the future members of the Supreme Court, health care, et cetera, and someday soon, the college population will be in charge, and it's important for them to step up and spend some time doing critical reading of the initiatives, not the ads, and thinking for themselves, and that's the point of a higher education after all. Well, I think we have Thomas Moyer on the line. He's vice president of San Francisco's Young Republicans. He's a blogger and the author of Conservative Survival Guide to San Francisco, also a California State Republican delegate. And Thomas Moyer, good to have you here on Forum. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, from your perspective, and I guess from the perspective of many young Republicans, it comes down to the fact that we're so in debt. And when they look at a Romney-Ryan ticket, they're saying they're going to get us more out of debt and not put our future at stake in terms of indebtedness.
Well, that's one aspect, certainly. I mean, when you spend money you don't have, you're really just passing it off to the next generation, and something that we, the younger generation, is going to have to bear that burden. But just in terms of just unemployment and so forth within the country today, I mean, I think a bigger issue is the fact that half the college students don't have full-time jobs right now, and that's going to be a bigger issue in this general election.
Well, and also concerned with fiscal issues and social and jobs. But what about the social issues? There are a lot of those who are turning away from Romney or saying, you know, he's not representing us because, and Ryan, because of, for example, they're being anti-choice or pro-life or whatever you want to describe it as.
Sure. I mean, I believe there's a lot of voters out there that certainly have those issues be very important to them. However, I don't think you have a lot of single-issue voters. Right now, I'm actually involved in a log cabin Republicans here in San Francisco, and, you know, with where more of them are focused on kind of the fiscal issues versus, you know, more of the social ones. We like to be more libertarian in this part of the part of the world here, so...
I mentioned abortion, but of course, you know, same-sex marriage, a lot of those issues really are important to young people.
They are, but at the end of the day, if you're still living in your parents' basement and you don't have a job and, you know, you really are thinking more about your pocketbook and being able to get out and start your life. You know, I found that according to the Harvard Institute of Political Polls, the enthusiasm gap has dropped almost in half from 72% in 2008 to 48%. Which is pretty telling in this election. Obama's really relying on kind of the youth vote in 2008, and, you know, he's going to need that vote in 2012. It doesn't look like he's going to be getting all of it.
Thomas Moyer, again, Vice President of San Francisco Young Republicans, a blogger and author of Conservative Survival Guide to San Francisco. He's also a California State Republican delegate, and we thank you for joining us on Forum. And you who are listening can join us as well if you have some thoughts, some comments, some questions related to really the youth vote. And if you are a young voter or a potential young voter, you may want to join us and let us know why you're voting or, well, what's influencing you perhaps not to vote if that's the case, or what could influence you to vote if that's the case. Young voters turned out certainly in huge numbers 4 years ago, but this year polls show that America's youth are less motivated, less enthusiastic. You may want to join us with your thoughts and feelings. Our toll-free number is available. It's 866-733-6786, and feel free to join us now. 866-733-6786. You can also email us, forum@kqed.org. Millennials particularly welcome here and encouraged to join us. You can email us, as I said, at forum@kqed.org, or go to our website, kqed.org/forum, and click on the segment, or go to our Facebook page, and you can also tweet us. Our Twitter handle is @KQEDForum. We're talking to Jason Johnson, professor of political science and communications at Hiram College, Elisa Garcia Bedoya, who is associate professor of education at UC Berkeley, and Sam Patton, online systems director of the League of Young Voters. We also spoke with the head of the Young Republicans Club in San Francisco. We'll hear from you when we return.
Definitely the taxes and tuition rates are going crazy. But I also really am concerned about services, whether it's Social Security, Medicaid, all that stuff. My mom currently is actually on disability, and she's getting pretty screwed. So I definitely want to see that improved, as well as just middle class services, period, because I've seen my mom struggle when she was working. And just kind of, it seems like if you're really poor, you're cool, and if you're really rich, you're cool, but the middle class is really suffering right now.
I am Cambodian American. My parents are actually refugees from Cambodia. Growing up, we weren't really privileged as like other Americans. I think for us, we were like overshadowed a lot, especially with the model minority myth where like Asians excel and whatnot. And then we're overshadowed. Like, people assume that we do not need resources, but in fact, my family needed a lot of resources. For a long period of time, my family lived under the poverty line, and we are still like barely at the like poverty line right now. So what's been helping us is that the government's welfare system and like, you know, systems to help like people who do need the assistance is really vital, because growing up and coming through like the educational system, it's really hard for me, like a person like me, to like actually come to Cal. So I was really fortunate to come to Cal. I had to like go through a lot of obstacles, a lot of barriers, and I had to go out and find a lot of resources to like myself, instead of like having the resources come to me. So I think that's like really important, and I think government should like focus on like helping a lot more people, and a lot of people that have been overshadowed.
Well, you heard some more voices from the KQED Voices of Young Voter Project. That last one was Russ Rothpanhar from Stockton. KQED interviewed him on the UC Berkeley campus. And you also heard Daya Adafo from East Palo Alto. She goes to San Francisco State. And we'll go to your calls here momentarily. Again, you can join us also. Like to hear from you, millennials, about what's important to you in this election and whether you're voting or not voting and why. You can tweet us. Our Twitter handle is at KQED Forum, or go to our Facebook page. Some responses, just to give you flavor, Dave Tell writes, more media coverage of third-party candidates is what he wants. And Marianne tweets, women's rights, choice, women's health, and equal pay. Lauren says, the environment, unemployment rates, Citizens United decision and access to Obamacare, especially women's health issues. And Cameron tweets us and says, I'm a 23-year-old male. Both Romney and Obama lost my potential vote when they failed to discuss their plans to combat climate change. This is too significant of an issue for them to remain silent on. Actually, Adriana asks a question of you, Professor Johnson, on Twitter. What are the reasons the Democratic base is less reliable?
Part because the Democratic base is poorer. The Democratic base is filled with more minorities who, generally speaking, have less access to resources and institutions. And I mean by resources, I mean things like cars. I mean more minorities are dependent on mass transportation. More minorities have difficulty getting access to polling places. More minorities are generally overlooked by the system. There's various reasons why turnout tends to be lower for Democrats in general. However, and I think this is very, very important, that can all change, and it actually has a lot to do with why we have some of the polling numbers we have. If you look at the 2008 presidential election, 65.4% of eligible African-American women in America voted in 2008. 65.4. That is the highest percentage of turnout amongst any demographic group in America, and it's the only time in American history that any group has outvoted any aspect of white people, male or female. And that was a big reason why Barack Obama won places like Virginia, won places like North Carolina, and carried Ohio by a decent percentage. So just because in the past minorities and Democratic base members haven't turned out doesn't mean that will always be the case. And it certainly, the 2008 election demonstrates that those things can make a difference. And that also applies on the flip side with Mitt Romney. The fact that he's doing so poorly amongst minority voters is the reason that he is trailing in places like Ohio. If he had better turnout, if he had better relations with minority voters, he'd probably be winning.
Of course, jobs numbers have gone up in Ohio, too. I mean, as I'm sure you're aware, we're talking to Professor Jason Johnson, who's professor of political science and communications at Hiram College in Ohio. And Lisa Garcia Bedoya is also with us by phone, associate professor of education at UC Berkeley, who has written books including Latino Politics and Mobilizing Inclusion, Transforming the Electorate Through Get Out the Vote Campaigns. And a listener named Ben asks, Professor Garcia Bedoya, what about after the vote? It seems a lot of focus on that small act. Isn't there more to political involvement?
Oh, of course. And there are all kinds of other forms of civic engagement. And in fact, in our work, we were working with community organizations that were organizing people in Get Out the Vote efforts. And the ones that were most effective were the ones that really talked about how to bring people in, not only to vote, but really how that affected other policy programs that they were doing in the community. So it is really important. And there is some suggestion that there's a relationship. If you vote, you're more likely to contact an elected official. You're more likely to do non-electoral activity. And so it is a whole package of civic engagement. And that's the way, you know, to think about it. The other important thing is to realize that voting is habit forming.
Well, there was a tremendous amount of galvanization of the youth vote by the Obama campaign. And to some extent, you know, the follow-up on that, from many people's perspectives, wasn't enough. I mean, it's not only that there's been disillusionment and lack of enthusiasm or less enthusiasm, diminished enthusiasm over President Obama, but also the fact that Axelrod and company didn't quite keep the mojo going.
That's true, but I think it's difficult for a national campaign to ever do that. I think the point is you have to have these relationships with community organizations, and at least my experience in Southern California was that many of those young people end up getting involved at the local level, and so it was dispersed rather than disappearing. And I think the other thing to appreciate is we had the largest social and economic dislocation in our country, you know, since the Great Depression. And so what that does is make people focus, very much like Sam Patton mentioned, focus on day-to-day survival issues rather than necessarily political engagement, which is seen by many as an extra item. So I think appreciating not only that really we can't expect a presidential campaign to maintain that over time because that's not how they're structured, that's not how they work, but secondarily that there have been major difficulties in communities over the course of the last 4 years that are going to sap the energy out of political mobilization.
And we're getting a lot of responses from millennials. Just to give you another example, Demadeva tweets to us, I'm concerned about women's rights. If the GOP wins and appoints a Supreme Court justice, Roe versus Wade is gone. What else will they take away? Another listener, Parisa, writes on our website, I'm an undecided voter among the third party candidates and recently out of school. I have $148,000 debt in student loans. People say at least you're invested in yourself and your future, but the investment doesn't come to bear when there are no salary appropriate jobs to even help with base loan payments, much less saving for the future. The amount I can pay just to keep up with my loans is overshadowed by the interest that is tacked on. So by tax time, I see that my loan has only gone down $200 when I've paid thousands throughout the year. I can't plan for my future. A couple months ago, a story on NPR interviewed a young lady who said she didn't feel like she could afford to get married and have children because she had $80,000 of student debt. I wondered what my $148,000 means. And getting some interesting responses also from non-millennials. For example, I'll go to your calls here in a moment. Ingrid writes on our website, this show is making me so angry. When I was in college, students were being gunned down in Tiananmen Square in China, and we were engaged and invested in voting for the first time. How can UC Berkeley students not understand the basic differences between the two candidates? That is completely unacceptable. My 10-year-old son, who attends public school in Oakland, can easily articulate the differences this election. This is so depressing to me. Comment another from our website, bring back the draft for men and women this time. Young people in my day in the 60s in Vietnam had a stake in the present and future, regardless of family income, political party, or workforce experience. These kids say, I'm in college now, and this just doesn't have an impact on my life. Would be in for a rude awakening the day after graduation. So there's an argument for conscription that we usually don't hear these days. Let's hear what some of you have to say on the phones here. Daja, good morning.
Good morning, and thanks for the show. I am not a millennial. I am a, I guess, Gen X. And my point is, I haven't heard the young folks talk very much about the fact that a lot of the problem with getting jobs is related to the fact that their parents' generation, the end of the baby boomers, are not retiring and are not giving up those jobs because they don't have enough saved. And so the fact that a president, any president, is going to be able to solve that just seems to me to be ludicrous. And I can't believe they would give up their basic rights of having shared and equal pay for men and women and women's reproductive rights for a short-term job that is going to disappear, or go overseas. We've got to deal with the real issues of the fact that our aging generation hasn't saved enough.
Sam Patton, you want to respond? Let's hear from Sam Patton, who's with the League of Young Voters.
Well, I think that's a really interesting point, and I think it's a good chance to bring back the conversation to something that someone mentioned, which is that global warming environmental crisis was totally left out of the presidential debate, and many young people feel that it's been left out of the campaigns in recent history. And I think that what you're actually dealing with is an economy and an employment structure that's really transforming. I think many young people find themselves engaged in the information sector, and I think that is really changing the skills required to find a high-paying job today to be competitive. And I think that you can actually look to green jobs programs, which are programs that are designed to both renovate America's changing energy infrastructure and also train and teach and empower young people who are leaving high school or leaving college in what is a brand new field. And I think green jobs programs are fantastic. The league is a big supporter of them. Young people tend to be big supporters of them. And I actually think the question, you know, is not how can we get our parents to retire? The question is how can we create and seize these moments where our energy infrastructure is failing? There's an opportunity for people who have this information expertise.
What do you say, Sam, though, to this argument that you hear that this millennial generation is too self-interested. You know, they're talking about jobs and maybe not even voting because there's no job for me. The government isn't doing for me. And they ought to be taking an attitude that, you know, there are many other issues that are of crucial importance to me as a member of my community or my country.
I guess I just don't agree with it is what I would say. I think young people social network, but the concept that that you're self-interested because you bother to go online and express an identity is very contrary to me. I actually think young people are extremely focused on crafting an identity within a larger space. Being the most diverse generation in American history, young people and the incredible value that Facebook and Twitter brings to our work. I'm not someone who just embraces these technologies because I want to be cool. I embrace them because they allow people who come from different backgrounds to find common ground. And I think young people are working. When you look at communities, young people are really in support of community service. Young people overwhelmingly are willing to do community service and say that it provides value to a local community. And I think that creating that dialogue that helps young people go out and start revitalizing their towns, local office, local employment, the local community to me is very important to young people. And it's that message doesn't jive with what I see.
Again, Sam Patton is Online Systems Director for the League of Young Voters. And our next caller is Lauren. Good morning.
Good morning. I just wanted to state my view and make a response to the young Republican from San Francisco. I'm a middle-class carpenter. I took a 25% pay cut a year ago. The economy is very to me, but I can't trade my wife's future, my daughter, I'm about to have a baby, a daughter's future, for economy right now, for interest right now. You know, and I'm not a single-issue voter. I don't understand swing voters. For me, it's you know, women's rights, environmental issues, jobs, gay rights. I don't see how you can swing from one side to another.
Okay. Thank you. And perhaps the young Republican is listening. We hope so. We'll get some more callers on in the meantime. Nolan, you're on. Good morning.
Hi there. Good morning. Michael, I'm the founder of Toll Vault Social Voting, which kind of sits right at the intersection between the youth vote and new technology. And as we've been talking about Facebook and Twitter being important technologies in connecting young people and with the Get Out the Vote effort, I think it's important to remember that privacy is critical. Not everyone's going to broadcast all of their political leanings on Facebook or on Twitter, and so they need a safe haven to do that, to both educate themselves about the vote and then to connect with each other and with select others in getting out that vote. So that's really what Poll Vault is doing, and we hope that it will be useful this election.
Okay, I thank you. Good plug for Poll Vault, and let's hear from Whitney next. Whitney, you're on.
Hello. I'm a young voter and recently a full-time student, and I'm distinctly not going to be voting in this election or probably in any election because I don't believe that that this governmental system is competent for the year 2012 or 2013 or the next century. Also, that my vote actually has any impact on the policies that that are in place or for the future.
And Sam Patton, what would you say to this young non-voter?
I would say that, you know, the 2000 election came down to, I believe it was 530 votes spread over 8 precincts. You know, when it comes down to it, I can understand the idea that when you're one of hundreds or millions of votes cast, it's hard to see the impact of your one vote. But the electoral process when it is critical, when it comes down to counting votes, those are the moments where your individual vote can never matter more, where you might actually have the ability to impact who the future president is. But it's also true that it gets back to voting in local elections, which are very often decided in margins of victory down to single votes or a dozen or a precinct or you bringing your kids or your teacher encouraging you to vote if you just turned 18 in high school, as teachers did to me in high school. And I would just say that I absolutely understand. And I think the electoral process has many flaws. I think something that's been missing from this whole conversation is actually the egregious voter suppression efforts that we've seen in 2012. The fact that I think many partisan forces are working to encourage people to see their vote as not mattering. I don't think that's something that is a natural effect of the electoral process. And I think we need to clean up the electoral process. I think we need to make it more accessible. And I think the proof is in the pudding. I don't think you should have to convince yourself or have your friends badger you into voting. I think we should make it clearer and more transparent why it does matter.
Well, let me thank Whitney for the call. Let me mention, by the way, that the Voices of Young Voters Project, we'll hear some more interviews from them. We have a good deal of thanks to Ian Hill and Lillian Manju from KQED. And Ian writes that he actually found that students were quite informed, even though they said they're not. Students said they got a lot of information from Facebook, and it allowed them to reel off statistics about issues like youth obesity. They seem more informed than previous generations, even though they said they're not. And studies have shown that more than 90% of young people are on social media. Just how informed are students from your perspective, Jason Johnson?
I think people are very informed, but the problem is that it's very difficult to get any actual truth because we can all go find the information that we want to find to confirm what we think. And I'll give you a perfect example when we talk about the economy. And a lot of people have been calling and saying, well, the economy is bad or good, and I don't want to give up my rights. And this has to do with our millennial voters as well. Consider this as to why our economy is in its current state. You had about 78 million baby boomers, right? 45, 65, you have about 82 million millennials, which are those kids, 85 until, 2005. The Generation X, the generation that I am in, there's only 56 million Generation Xers. There's a huge gap in both the generation before us and the generation after us. There are simply not enough Generation Xers to keep all these Applebee's open. And we're going through sort of a demographic trough similar to what happened in Japan in the late 90s. And that has a lot to do with why the economy is the way it is. You simply don't have the population to sustain the economy the way that we used to. And until the millennials are old enough where they can go out and produce, we're going to be stuck in this hole. That is a fact. That is a fact that George Bush knew. That is a fact that Barack Obama knows. But we don't have enough facts in our discussions about politics, which is why young people who, even when they are informed, are like, well, I don't know if it's true because this person on TV said this and they were louder, or this person on the radio said this and they were louder. We don't have enough truth. We don't have enough fact checking out there. We have too much face checking and attention checking, but not real truth. And that's one of the reasons why young people feel uninformed.
In fact, it brings up an interesting point that's been made many times, even on this program, that more young people are supposedly informed through John Stewart and Stephen Colbert than they are necessarily by reading the news or even listening to this program, though we have certainly a lot of millennials who listen to us. And Benjamin writes, and like your response, Lisa Garcia Bedoya, to this, he says, I'm 27. I think that makes me a millennial. It does, Benjamin. He says, I've noticed that a lot of people my age connect with politics through Facebook. It starts to be more of an issue of who can post the funniest comment on politics or who found the funniest new meme or picture. I think this might be a worse source of information than even political ads, because the point is humor and satire, not accuracy or action.
Right. Well, and but I think also the point of not knowing what's true and what's not, and what's satire and what's not, and not being able to, feeling like you have enough experience to make that judgment, right? That's the age issue, right? Whether or not you feel like you have enough personal experience to be able to say that you know in particular what's going on. And the other problem is that what the campaigns are talking about isn't what, like, the there have been comments that have been said that what the campaigns are talking about is not what young people care about. So just referring to the Circle poll that Sam Patton mentioned, you have more than 20% of millennials basically saying that neither side either understands their problems or will help improve the economy or will stand up for their interests, right? That there's this general sense that there's a whole conversation out there that has nothing to do with their personal experience. That said, I do think it's important to talk about social media as a potential equalizing force, and at least there's been a new study by the MacArthur Youth and Participatory Politics network, and they found that, in fact, civic engagement on that level, social media level of signing petitions and engaging in actions through social media, is actually equalized across all young voters in terms of race and ethnicity. And so but that hasn't translated into voting. And so I think social media may be a way to bridge that gap with this generation, to really think about how do we equalize participation across all types among young people in the United States.
All right. I'd like us to hear some more of the Voices of Young Voters project from the interviews that were done. Here they are.
So I definitely care the most about getting healthcare looked at. As someone who plans to go into a healthcare profession, I think it's very important that everyone should be able to have affordable healthcare to make sure that issues are taken care of without, you know, running the risk of losing your house because you got sick. I also think that the Republican stance on women's bodies and their right to tell, you know, women what to do, I think that's completely insane. And I so want people to vote to be able to, you know, say, no, that's not okay. You can't tell us what to do with our own bodies. It's not your, you know, it's not your decision.
I also want equal rights for everybody, all women, mental disorders, gender, sexual orientation, all that stuff. So I'm big on equality. I'm really strong in the gay community, and I have a lot of gay friends, and I really want them to have the choice to be able to marry whoever they love.
Well, I do have a lot of friends that are, illegal immigrants, which, you know, it scares me because I've had some that have been deported, but they, like, work hard just as, like, you know, anyone would here. I actually know a few more that, like, work hard, and they're not here to just take over. They're here to, like, bring money back because they don't have it. So I get kind of upset about the immigration laws.
More voices from the interviews from the Voices of Young Voters Project. The first voice you heard was Serena Orgon from San Rafael, interviewed on the San Jose State University campus. And the second voice was Paul Ochoa from Los Angeles. He goes to Sonoma State University. And that last voice was Monica Skinner from Redwood City. She was interviewed on the San Francisco State campus. And again, thanks to Ian Hill and Lillian Manju for the audio of the college youth that you've been hearing here from the Voices of Young Voters Project. Obviously done an excellent job. I'll read some more of our comments from listeners on Facebook. Jackie writes, "Hi, Michael. I'm 21 years old. I go to a community college. I think there is no excuse for young adults not to vote. I just became a citizen right after the last presidential election. I'm thrilled to have the right. There is so much at stake in this election. In my opinion, I need to put my opinion on the ballot, but not just for the president, also for measures and propositions." And, well, some other comments just on voting itself. Another listener writes, "It's depressing that so many of these young people are concerned only with the economy. There's no question whom to vote for when it comes to the issue of climate change, or at the very least, whom to vote against. And I'd hope that young people would be better informed on that issue. It's going to affect their lives and their pocketbooks more than any other issue." Tyler writes, "I'll vote, but aside from local issues, what's the point? Both parties are extremely similar, will say whatever they need to get elected, and who knows what they will really do after they get in office. I voted for Obama in 2008 and probably will again this election, but I'm hard-pressed to find a reason why, especially in a dark blue state. Many of my friends and I believe our national votes don't matter in California. And when are we going to change from the electoral college system to a direct vote?" Joe from Alameda says, "When I heard the audio of the young woman saying the election didn't really affect her, I immediately flashed back to a conversation I had with several Yugoslavian graduate students during the Bosnian Wars. They were Serbs, Croats, and Bosnians, the spectrum of ethnicities from that country, and all were warm, wonderful people who got along beautifully here in the United States. And when I asked them how a country could descend into such terrible civil unrest and elect a person like Milosevic, they said to a person, 'We were undergrad students. We didn't think it mattered much to be involved in politics till it was too late.'" Sarah tweets us, "Romney's mention of just asking parents for college money is appalling. If that was a possibility, I wouldn't be $30,000 in debt." And Jesse writes, "Without fretting over specific issues with each candidate, and there are a lot of them, I think a lot of my age group identifies themselves as socially liberal, but fiscally conservative. I identify more with the current Democratic Party's social liberalism, women's rights, social programs, but right now, neither party is very fiscally conservative, especially with regards to military spending, and the third parties are in a position where none of us feel we can vote for them. What has to happen for that to change?" Let me go to more of your calls, and we'll go next to Joe. Welcome. Thanks for waiting.
Thank you, first-time caller. I just really want to drive home the point to both reporters and national pollsters and any party that our millennial generation, I'm 23, is extremely disconnected from national politics, that largely the conversation revolves around minute parts of the tax code and job creation, when most people my age are facing a world that, for all we know, isn't going to be right out husk in years. And we want to see the broad spectrum on dealing with the problems we have. And until these parties start dealing with that, we're going to not vote for them.
All right. I thank you for your statement. And let me get another caller on here. Phil, it's you. Hi.
Hi, this is Phil from Burlingame. So I've got two kids, you know, 19 and 22. And, you know, my experience is that, you know, we all get together and talk about the youth voting. But the reality of it is very few young people I know are plugged into media, like you guys were saying. They get it from Jon Stewart or Facebook. And, you know, I think there are notable exceptions. But, you know, if all the youth at the UC system didn't rise up, then my God, what wouldn't they, you know, rise up to?
All right. Thank you, Phil, for that call. We've got really very little time left, but Kendrick, let's get you on. Hi.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'll try to make it quick. Biggest issue for me has been the feeling that Koch brothers, et cetera, are buying the election. I'm 27. I just got out of college. And I think I know a lot of young Republicans who would vote Republican, but the national, like, conservative movement alienates them, particularly young people. And I'll take the response off there.
Okay. Well, what about the national media alienating young people? We've got seconds left here. You want to comment, Lucia Garcia Bedoya?
Well, I think it's the point that they're not talking about the things that young people care about. But I do want to point out there's been a lot of discussion about why are young people now not voting. And there was a nice piece in the New York Times about the fact that if you look at the voting rates of baby boomers during the Vietnam era, it was, in fact, the same rates as they are now. I think there's something about being young, not being certain, not having information, not having a car, not having money, not feeling invested in the system that keeps folks from engaging. And so that's why it's so important to go out and contact people. It's so important to go out and talk to people and make young people feel like they have a stake in the system. And the last thing to say is speaking to why voting matters, you wouldn't have had all these efforts of voter suppression if, in fact, the vote didn't matter. If it didn't matter, they wouldn't bother to keep people away from the polls.
Well, Larry from Los Gatos says, I'm proposing to forgive the interest on all student debt. If President Obama had said that, he would have secured the election. He didn't. We will continue, obviously, to watch the youth vote and how it is affected and to what extent it makes a difference, especially when the election comes about. Again, thanks to Ian Hill and Lillian Manju for their involvement. Thanks to all our guests, James Johnson and Lucia Garcia Bedoya, Sam Patton. We also spoke with Thomas Moyer from the Young Republicans of San Francisco. And thank you, our listeners. We wouldn't be here without you. We wouldn't be here also without our senior editor, Dan Zoll, and our producers, Judy Campbell, Irene Noguchi, and Amanda Stupai. And Tina Larberg. For all of us, I'm Michael Krasny.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation in honor of Louise and Claude Rosenberg.